We're just going to have a look. If you open your Bibles to start with, let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just to start with. We'll just get kicked off in this verse here. Just going to have a look at a couple of sermons here that are recorded in the Bible, and we'll just have a look at a few people's ways of thinking and how they get taught. Let's just have a look at Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23. It says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." So, we've got a couple of ways of thinking here that are represented in the Bible. We've got a Greek way of thinking, and we've got the Jewish way of thinking, okay? And we're going back in history, and so let's just have a look here, that this is the Jewish road, the Jewish way of thinking, the Jewish heritage, the Jewish background, and the things that the Jewish know. And this is the Greeks, okay? This is different mindsets, okay? People have different mindsets. We're kind of talking about a worldview, a biblical worldview, or how you view the world and how people viewed the world, okay, and teaching. So in the Bible there, it tells us, let's read those two verses again, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Jews seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block." Let's draw a little guy here. He's fallen over. He's a Jew, okay? It's a stumbling block. Christ is a stumbling block to the Jews, okay? This is what the Bible says. And then to the Greeks, it's foolishness. And this is the Greek guy. And he's come walking along here, and he's come across the cross, and he's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And we got the Jewish guy here, and he comes along, and he comes to the cross of Christ, and he trips over, and he stumbles, and it doesn't make any sense to him. It's a stumbling block to him, a rock of offense, and things like this, okay? So we're going to have a look at these ones. Let's jump back into Acts chapter 2. And as you're turning to Acts chapter 2, I'll write some things up in the board here. Something about the Jews, okay? So the Jewish background, they have the Torah. They've got the Pentateuch. They've got the five books of the Bible. They know about creation, okay? They know about God. There is one God. They know that there's one God. They know about Moses, and they know about Noah, and they know about, we'll come down here, down to David. They know about David, and they know about Solomon, okay? And they have their Jewish ways of thinking that they have in the Bible, and they know some of these things. And then we have the Greeks. And what do the Greeks know? What do we know about the Greeks? They have lots of gods. They have lots of gods. You know, you could talk about their gods. You know, they got like Zeus and Jupiter and Mars and Diana and all these people, and they got many gods, and they sacrifice to the gods. They need to please the gods. You know, they got many gods that they do, and they got their way of thinking. And so when they come to the cross, they go, "What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all. What are you talking about?" Okay, so we'll have a look here. Go to Acts chapter 2, and we'll fill in a bit more about these. Okay, so this is the Greek road. And let's have a look at a couple of sermons, and a couple of, one by Peter and one by Paul. Okay, so Acts chapter 2, we've got Peter preaching. And who is he preaching to? He's preaching to the Jews, okay? So Acts chapter 2, he's preaching to the Jews. Okay, and this is just after Pentecost, and they've spoken in tongues, and there's all these things that have happened, and the people have said they're drunk, and they're mocking all of these things. We're not going to read all the way through this sermon, but we're going to point a few things out. Verse 14, it starts in verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." Okay, so it's like 9 o'clock in the morning, the third hour of the day. Everyone's saying, "These guys are drunk. What is going on with these guys?" And if you read it, people are hearing their languages from other places. They're hearing all their different languages, and they're dialects and they're things like this. And people go, no, they're just drunk. And Peter's going, hang on a minute, guys. These guys aren't drunk. It's only early in the morning. And drunk people, he's not saying this, but you think about it, drunk people don't then just magically know another language. Like something is going on here. And he, when he starts preaching, let's have a look at how Peter preaches to the Jews, okay? Let's look at verse 16. It says, but this is that which is spoken by, what do we got? We're talking about the prophet Joel. So we've got prophets, okay? The Jews know about all of this stuff, okay? They've got the law, you know, and they've had all this stuff. They've got Jonah, you know, and they know all of this Bible history, but it hasn't made sense to them what it all means, okay? And if we study down through here, it goes down. Let's just go jump down to verse 22, okay? He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Okay? So this isn't actually long after Jesus had ascended back up to heaven. It's just like, it's you read the Bible and we kind of get the timeline out of whack. We kind of read stuff like as if it happened the next day in the Old Testament and it's like years later. Or we read stuff in the New Testament and we don't actually connect the timeline of it. It's only like not even very long. I don't know exactly how many days, just days, month and a couple of days, some time, not even years that Jesus had ascended up into heaven. And Peter's telling me, he's explaining, he's going to go back and explain all of this to Christ so that they know what it means. See, he's gone back to Joel. He's gone back to the Old Testament. He's gone back to Joel and says, this is prophesied in the Bible. You know about this stuff. Okay? And you know about Jesus. You've seen Jesus. See what it says there at the end of verse 22? It says, he did wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. You know Jesus? He's reminding him. He's like, you know this Jesus guy? Remember this Jesus guy? Do you remember him? We're talking about him. We're talking about that Jesus. It says him, verse 23, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye had taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You know that Jesus? He did all the miracles. And you guys, you delivered him over and you had him killed and you had him slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it, okay? Remember Jesus, remember? He's like reminding me, you can imagine, I don't know if they did it like this, but you would just go, remember how you killed that guy? And then he rose from the dead? Remember that? You remember, I'll put a reference up here, 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is so important. There is no resurrection, then our religion is in vain. You know, it's vain. And he's rebuking these people and he's telling them, it's not possible that he should stay dead. And look at verse 25, it says, for David. Now he's going back to David here. He's going back to the Old Testament and he's going back to David. Remember what the things that David said? They've got the Psalms, they've got the prophets, they've got these things. They know what the Bible says. And he says, this is what David said, verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him. It's talking about Christ, and this is from Psalm 16. You can go back and look all of these up. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance. David was prophesying when he wrote that. Look at verse 29. It says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. Okay, he's talking about David. Remember what David said? Remember? He's reminding them of what the Old Testament says. Because they're Jews, they know all of these things. And he's showing them how the Old Testament pointed to Christ. And we know that's the case because even Jesus did that. Remember the road to Emmaus and the two disciples? And doesn't everyone just go, what did Jesus say? on the road to Emmaus. You know, because he said all things beginning with the creation through the prophet and then the law and everything, all things concerning himself. Can you imagine that? And those blind guys just go, man, don't you know what's happened? Haven't you been around the last few days? And then this guy starts preaching to them through the Old Testament, and then they get down there to their house and then they pray and they go, oh, it was Jesus! You remember that? And they go running back up and tell everyone. Imagine what he would have said. And so he's reminding, Peter's going back here through the Old Testament and he's showing the Jews, he's showing them Christ, because the Jews didn't understand Christ. It was a stumbling block to them. It didn't look like they thought it was going to be. They knew he was coming. They knew he was coming and they were waiting. They didn't know when. They know that this was a fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, you know, the seed of the woman. This is fulfilled. And they missed it. And they didn't see it. And he's saying, look at verse 29. He says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. All right, David's dead. His grave is over there. It doesn't matter. It says, therefore, being a prophet. David was a prophet. He saw these things. He said these things. He wrote these things down, like it says. And knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Seeing this, therefore, spoke he of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. David wrote about that. You can read that one. Psalm 132. David preached about this, and his flesh won't see corruption, the resurrection of Christ. He's saying, you know what David was saying? Remember this? This is talking about Jesus. This is talking about Jesus. He's using the Bible. He's using the Old Testament. I'll say Old Testament. He's using the Old Testament and showing the Jews Christ, because they understand that, because they've got that way of thinking. Let's just keep reading through to the end of here. Let's keep going. It says, this Jesus, remember he said that Jesus who you delivered over to kill, that one that did all the miracles and the wonders, you saw him, remember, and you handed him over to get killed, and he died and he rose again, remember, and you saw him for like 40 days and he ascended up to heaven, this Jesus. I wonder if you'd be getting a bit convicted now. Crucify him! Peter's going, this Jesus. Oh. This Jesus, 32, hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. You're all witnesses to this. You saw it. You were there. Can you imagine that? This is what he's saying. It says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. This is Psalm 110. These are all Psalms of David written down here. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Whoa, this is a powerful sermon. He's preaching to the Jews. He's using the law. Well, he's not using the law, he's using the prophets. He's going back to Joel. Joel talking about Pentecost, what's going to happen here through David, all these things that he said, how he's going to rise up from the dead and how he's living forever. And then it says, look at verse 37. And this is the kind of preaching that you'd love to have, a response that you would love to have from this, isn't it? Verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do? That's a good question. What are we going to do? I wonder if they were totally convicted, because maybe they were the guys there saying, crucify him, slapping him in the face. The Pharisees, I don't know. We don't know. We're just being skeptical. But they were there and they're convicted and they're pricked to the heart. What are we going to do? this is what we've done. You crucified these people, him. You grabbed him and you handed him over to be killed, and God did this and raised him from the dead. Now what are you going to do? And they say, what are we going to do? Then Peter, verse 38, said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized. Okay, that's simple, isn't it? Repent and be baptized. What do we do? Repent and be baptized. What do you do when God convicts you? And even if you're a Christian, what do? Repent. Right? We've already repented from our sins. We're Christians. Not saying we lose salvation, but we do sin. Yeah? And we need to repent of some of our sins that we continue to do. I do it. Lord, I sinned again. You know, oh, Lord, help me. You know, give me wisdom. Give me strength. Give me fruit. Give me, help me just so I can win, get victory over these things. But unsaved people, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It'll be taken away. It's not possible for the blood of goats and rams to take away sin. Right? But Jesus' blood takes it away once for all. He offered one sacrifice once and for all, for the remission of sins. Receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Remember Jeremiah 31? I preached on it some weeks ago, the promise. When God gave Jeremiah the promise, I will make a new covenant. I will make a new covenant with you and your children. I will take away the old one and I will establish the new covenant. You go through Hebrews, it's established a better covenant, established on better promises. We have a mediator, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. We have a promise. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This promise is for everyone. Go into the world, go to the uttermost parts of the world. It's for everyone. God's promise of salvation is for everyone. And verse 40, it says, and with other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. 3,000 people. 3,000 Jews got saved at this point in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 people. It's huge. Imagine that. They're these people. They were the Jewish people that had this, and they needed to have their what they knew, the Old Testament, the prophets, and the law. They need to have it explained to them so that they understood who Christ was. And then once they got it, they repented. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Go over to Acts chapter 17. We're going to look at a different people group now. And I'm saying this because we need to think, and we need to be careful how we teach people. Okay, we need to not just assume that when we're teaching that people know who these people are. Okay, I mean, you grow up in church and you know about Samson, and you know about David, and you know about Moses, and you know about Adam, and you know about Elijah, and you know about him going up in a whirlwind of fire and not dying, and you know about Noah, and you know about all this stuff, but we don't know how to put it all together. But then what do you do when you're talking to the Greeks? I'll put the Greeks here. They've got a different mindset, right? So let's have a look here. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 17. And we got Paul preaching. He just got out of prison. You know, he just sent the spirit of divination out of that woman, and everyone all got upset and they put him in prison, and he's praising the Lord that he's in prison, and you know, the earthquake happens and he comes out, and now he's just preaching to people. And let's have a look here in verse 16. Okay, he's in Athens, he's in Greece, he's in a different place altogether, okay? So he's in Israel, he's in Jerusalem, we've got Peter preaching, and he's in Jerusalem. Now we've got, some time has gone past, and we've got Paul in a different part of the world. He's over there in Athens, he's in Greece, And this is what he's saying. Let's have a look here. It says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in them when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." It was completely given over to idolatry. Okay, they just worshipped everything. Okay, about the Greeks, they had lots of gods and gods were everywhere, and they had the star gods and the planet gods, and you know, we got the planets, you know, Jupiter and Mars, and we got Zeus and Hercules and, you know, Hades, and all of this stuff comes from the Greeks. You know, so much of this, it comes out of Greek, the Greek mythology. You know, they're totally given over to idolatry. Okay, that's why you can't watch Marvel movies. Ha! Got that plug in somewhere. Hate them. Superheroes. Robbing God of his glory, I say.
Did you get that?
Okay, they're given entirely over to idolatry. So he's walking around. They don't know who God is. They're just worshipping everything. And they got the goddess Diana. You read about her in Acts 18. You know, the silversmiths are getting all upset because they're going to lose their jobs because Paul's preaching don't worship idols and all this kind of stuff, okay? So he's in this city that's totally given to idolatry. Well, that's in Ephesus, not in Athens. Don't yell at me there. Verse 7, he says, "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews," okay, so there's Jews there, because there was Jews all over the place, "and with the devout persons, and in the market daily, and with them that met with him. So he's always talking about God. He's always talking about Jesus. He's always talking about the resurrection, and he's always talking about Jesus, and he's disputing with these people, and they're talking. And verse 18, "then certain philosophers, oh, they're the worst people. The philosophers of the Epicureans," okay? Epicurea was a guy and they were following this guy. "And the Stoics," you know, Stoics. They hold on firmly to something, okay? "The Stoics encountered him." They encountered him. I think that's really funny that it says that they encountered him, because he didn't encounter them, they encountered him. And if they thought they were Stoic, then listen to Paul. But listen to what goes on here, okay? So they've got this totally different mindset, and Paul starts preaching, all right? Listen to what he says. He says, "and they encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say?" What is this guy talking about? What, this guy who just babbles on and goes on and on and on and on. He's like, what's he going to say? And this is what he says. And it says, what's he going to say? Other some, he seemed... Wait, and said some, what will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, okay? So they just think that he's talking about another god, all right? Because they got lots of gods, and so he's just putting forth some other strange god that we've never heard about before. And it says, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection, all right? So Paul is preaching about Jesus and the resurrection, but these guys don't know what he's talking about. They weren't at Jerusalem. They're in a different part of the world altogether. You know, Greece is up here, Jerusalem's down here, you know, they're some way away. Maybe they've heard the news, heard a little bit of what's happened, I don't know. But they aren't Jews, okay? And so Paul is taking the approach of teaching these people like they're Jews. Okay? And he's talking about Jesus and the resurrection. But they don't know what he's talking about. And they go, who's this Jesus person? And if we look here, look at what happens here. And so he's talking about Jesus and the resurrection. And verse 19, it says, "And they took him and brought unto him Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is." He's like, what are you talking about? Tell us more about these. "For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean." Okay, so like, we've never heard anything like this before. We don't know anything about a Messiah. We don't know about Jesus. We don't know about a resurrection. What are you talking about? You can kind of imagine that that's what's going on in their minds. And then verse 21. It says, "For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new." All right? That's not always just about gossip. I've only ever heard that verse used about gossip. But they want to sit down and discuss things and talk about things and hear something. Hey, that's some new thing. What are you talking about? And so let's see what Paul does here. Okay, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." You believe everything. You just believe anything the people tell you. You've got all of these gods, you've got all of these altars, you've got all of these religions, you've got all of these temples, and you've got all of this system, and you're superstitious about everything. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him I'll declare unto you." I'm going to tell you about the guy that you don't know. Not the guy, sorry, God. I'm going to tell you about the God that you don't know. You've even got an altar here to the unknown God. I wonder if they had that just in case they missed out on some God and they didn't want to upset them or something like this. It's about all inclusiveness or something like this, isn't it? Okay, so he goes, "I'm going to tell you about the God you don't know about." See him change? You see? He's changed. He started talking about this stuff like Peter did, and it made sense to them. Okay, and he goes, "Now I'm going to tell you about an unknown God. You got all of these gods, and you don't know who he is." That's why it was foolishness. What's Jesus? What are you talking about? Death and resurrection? Like, what? That doesn't make any sense at all. Okay, so he goes, "All right, I'm going to tell you about him." And have a look here. Verse 24. "God that made the world and all things therein." Where did he go? Right back to creation. He went all the way back to Genesis. Why did he do that? Because the Greeks, they don't know who God is. So when you're telling them about Jesus, who's Jesus? Jesus died on a cross? Wow, that's a bit weird. He rose again from the grave? Oh, don't hear about that too often. Sins? What are sins? God? What God did I sin against? What? Jupiter? No, I'm in good with him at the moment. Like, who knows what they're thinking? They're superstitious people, right? Have you ever tried to reason with a unreasonable person? Oh, Proverbs warns you about not doing that. I had an example when I was at home thinking about this, but now I can't remember. It may come to me. No, it's gone. All right? So how... Now, I want to change this from Greeks to Australians. That does say Australian. If you don't believe me, just believe me. Can't spell. Now, have you ever tried to talk to somebody about God and they say, "What are you talking about?" You see, I've witnessed and tried to talk to people assuming that they know stuff. I've tried to talk to them about the Bible. I've tried to talk to them about the Old Testament. I've tried to say Isaiah 53:6. I've tried to say things like this to people. Do you know, I literally had a guy tell me one time, and it's absolutely horrifying, okay? And you will all have stories like this. He told me the only thing I know about church and the Bible is what I saw on The Simpsons. That's... okay? Now, I haven't watched it for many, many years. You'll be glad to know. If any of you guys have watched that, you're just all a bunch of heathens. And it is the most blasphemous, disgusting, irreverent, you could just go on show that he's on and people watch it. A guy that I worked with actually said that to me. Oh. And Australians... do you know what their God is? Death. Evolution, right? Time. Now, I should have thought about it. if you'll permit me to use my phone in the pulpit. Actually, it's in favourites, so it won't take me very long. Ready? Listen to this quote. It's absolutely ridiculous. Ready? I've told lots of you this, so you'll know it. Ready? I should write up on the board. If I was smart, I'd know how to use a computer. Ready? Given so much time, the impossible becomes possible. Yeah, the possible probable. And the probable virtually certain. One only has to wait. Time itself performs the miracles. You just keep throwing that dice, you're going to get an eight. Yeah? Isn't that ridiculous? What's the God there? Time. Hey? Do you know what? The God is their bellies. Australians don't know who God is. And when I was in a park one time many, many years ago, and there was a kid there, and I was just talking to them because I had kids. And I said, oh, yeah, we go to church and Sunday school. And she says, and I remember this because it was like so far out. She's like, church. And it's like, no, I don't know who Jesus is. I'm like, you don't know who Jesus is? No. My nan goes to church. I've never been, though. Okay? They're growing up like the Greeks. They don't know who God is. We need to go back to the start and tell them. Look at what it says here. And this is like what Paul... And we can take this approach with some people. You know, there are religious people, and we can use the religious ways to show people the Gentiles. Okay, so this is just the world. All right? And this is a New Testament church. Okay? Jews, Gentiles, everyone. Let's look at what Paul does here with these people. And so he sees that his approach isn't working, just talking about Jesus, and maybe he put in the law because he was a Pharisee, you know, what he knew. And so he goes back and he realizes that they don't know what he's talking about. What's this babbler going to say? What's this Jesus? What's this resurrection? What are you talking about? Come over here and just tell us a bit about what's going on here. You know, that's what's happening. And Paul says, I'm going to tell you about the God that you don't know. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. It's like, this is not the God that you put in a temple. You don't make an image of this guy and stick him up and put him there and worship and build him a house. He is the God of all things. You can't put him in a house. You can't put him in a building. You can't make an image of him. He gives life and breath to all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men. Where do you think you come from? Paul's like, yeah, he made all men. You come from this God. You have all those other gods, and you're way too superstitious, and you may believe in evolution, and you may believe all the ridiculousness of this world, and you may not know, but you came from God. God made people, all people. One race, the human race, from one blood, from Adam, coming down through Noah. Through Noah, the whole world was overspread. He hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. For as much as we were the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. We can't have an image of God. We can't. We can't make a picture of God. No one has or should have a picture of God on their wall or an eye or something. It's like God says no to that. like, this isn't the God. And if you read in chapter 19, you know, you got them silversmiths and they're making those little idols of Diana, you know, and they're selling them and selling them. And it's a booming business until Paul comes along. And they're threatened when he's preaching this gospel. He's preaching this gospel to these people. It's only two chapters later that they're starting a riot over this guy preaching, don't worship anything else but God. You don't know who he is. I'm telling you who he is. This is a guy you got to worship. The God you got to worship. Sorry, I got to stop saying God. The God you got to worship. Verse 30. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. Okay, he used to do that, and he allowed it, and he permitted it for a time, even though he wasn't happy. But he winked at it, and he let it go. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Oh man, have you ever had anyone say that they follow all the commandments of God? Then pull out this one and say, yeah, well, when did you repent? I've done that before. The SDAs in New Guinea really didn't like it. We follow all the commands from in to amen. In the beginning to the end of Revelation, amen. That's what they say, from in to amen. And it took me a while to figure out what they meant by that. Oh yeah, dear. What about Acts 17? What does Acts 17 say? God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I've repented. Yeah, well, why'd you go in that fight and kill that guy? Yeah, we're in. It's different. All right, let's keep reading on here. He commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that in that he hath raised him from the dead. You see that resurrection? I'm going to write resurrection on the board. The resurrection might have two R's in it. I don't know. If I make it really messy, you won't know if it's right or wrong anyway. Okay, resurrection. The resurrection of Christ. It's so important. Because every other God, prophet, teacher is dead. Except ours. You know, we have two different things about our religion. One, our God is alive. And two, our God did something for us. Every other God religion, you must do. And they expect and demand high prices. And our God gave for us and rose again. And that's the sign. He rose again. He proved who he was. He raised from the dead. He didn't die. He did die. He died and he rose again. His body didn't see corruption. He rose from the dead. And verse 32, look at this. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. Certain men. So we had 3,000. We had certain. We don't know how many. But there was some people who believed. A lot of them were confused. A lot of them didn't know what he was talking about. But there was a few of them that believed. And there was a lot of Jews that also believed. There's a lot of Jews that fell over and stumbled and also didn't go the right way. And then it talks about the New Testament church. There's no difference between Jew or Greek. We're all one in Christ, in one church, the New Testament church. Hopefully that makes sense to you. When we speak to people, we need to be careful how we speak. Because when we speak to unsaved people and we start talking about these people, they don't know what we're talking about. Because this is what they know. Have you ever spoken to an Australian and asked them what they believe? Do you know, I worked with another guy and he told me he got his doctrine. He actually said doctrine, I think. Maybe he said theology. I don't know. He said a really big word like that. Do you know what he said? And I just went, he said, I get my doctrine. He may have said theology. I don't know. From the Da Vinci Code and angels and demons. And I'm like, you know that they are made up stories, don't you? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, so You're basing your beliefs on some random guy's imagination that he wrote in a book that's not true. And he says, yes. So how can you reason with an unreasonable person? Well, you know what? I'll tell you about the God that you don't know. And you want to believe in evolution and your atheisticness? They call themselves atheists. But they're actually not. Because they believe that their unbelief makes them okay. They believe that the fact that they don't believe is good enough. I was talking with another guy and he goes, I have faith. I'm like, oh yeah, you have faith, do you? What in? He goes, myself. I'm like, do you? Why? Because I'm pretty good at what I do. I'm pretty good at my job. I'm a good guy. I look after my family, my kids and stuff. And so what's that going to get you in the end? Oh, well, you know, should be good enough. I haven't done too much bad stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you about the God that you don't know. You know that God that you don't know? And this is why Jesus came. Because of the rebellion. And because of the sin and because of the disobedience. And that's what sin is. It's disobedience. It's rebelling against God. Do you know what? That's sin. Atheism is sin. Do you know what? I actually don't even think that Australians are atheists. I reckon they're actually probably polytheists, if that's actually a word. Polytheism, pantheism, I don't know, what's the word? When you have many gods, what is it? Poly. Yeah, I do, see, poly. Poly meaning many. Right? See, polytheists, many gods. I don't know how to say the word right now. And they have many gods, actually, in Australia, don't they? They believe in evolution and they believe in, I don't know what they believe, themselves. They believe in the Simpsons. They believe in literature that's fiction. They believe in
football.
I love that video clip. Have you seen that one? They wear ridiculous costumes and they build temples to their idols. You seen that one? Someone smile. No, you don't know. I'll show you it one day. Football. They move from the B with the double A-L to the B with the A-double-L. Bow, bow. What's the difference? I don't know. Okay. So when we're talking to people, think about what you're going to say to them. And you bombard people with this kind of stuff who don't actually know this stuff, you actually lose them. You actually do. Yeah, you're a Bible basher. I'm not saying it's wrong to be a Bible basher or anything like this. My dad has accused me of being a Bible basher all the time. I found out, I spoke to my brother and he said, I'm sick of Chris bugging me with all that God stuff. I'm like, oh, really? Did he say that? I didn't even know. But we need to do this. We need to tell people about who God is, why there is a Jesus. That's just confusion. It's foolishness. Why is it a stumbling block to you Jews? And we need to change our tact to the person that we're talking to and the people that we're talking to. Huh? We need to have a biblical world view. I'm going to stop talking. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just pray that you help us. Help us to know how to speak to people, how to speak to people about you, what passages to use. Lord, where to go in your word, Lord, to the beginning or to the prophets, Lord, if we're dealing for religious people or irreligious people, Lord, just help us to know. And when we're dealing with our families as well and our neighbours, just give us wisdom, Lord, to know how to speak to people. And Lord, we just pray that you work in the hearts of the people that we get to talk to, Lord. And we just pray that you watch over us this week and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.